Join me, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1. Starting at verse 18, and would you please stand to receive God's words? This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let us give thanks for God's words. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you bring us to this moment that we can peer into you, into your words and hear your voice. And so we ask, Father, now that you bless us with this truth, that you bless us with understanding, and certainly, Lord, help us then to apply our lives to what we learn from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready? Are you feeling it? Are you feeling Christmas? You feeling the birth of Christ? You feeling the... Yeah? Are you feeling it? Yeah, presents, come on. At least the presents, right? Or, you know, maybe some good food. Yeah, we got at least that. Right? I got to tell you, I got a black raspberry pie waiting for me. And if you've never had any of Laura's lard pies, is what I call them. You know, she uses real lard. And oh man, I mean, that is a gift. And now I've committed her to that because she was hesitating the other day about it. And so now I've told all of you, so now she's going to be stuck. So, see, you didn't keep your word. You didn't do it right. But are you feeling it? Are you feeling what's going on here? Are you bringing it into yourself to understand that this is what God did? This is what God did that we remember on this day. Laura and I were talking the other day, and we talk a lot, believe it or not, is that we have this stack of movies, okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. Right? We have this stack of movies. They're G's. They're rated G. Don't worry about that. But we have these movies, and they're all Christmas movies. And so I have separated them from, you know, all of our other not-so-G-rated movies and things. And so I've taken those, and I put them underneath our TV, and because Laura and I have this tradition. As Christmas comes along, and we start to watch certain movies at certain time of the year. Maybe you haven't noticed or heard, but Laura's nuts about the Christmas season. You know, I think it's 13 Christmas trees now. 13 Christmas trees, you know, the presents are all under there. Hers are bigger than mine. And then there's this thing about, you know, Christmas food. I love that part. Christmas movies, I'm okay with that. You know, but so we have these movies that we watch so we can kind of tell where we're at in our Christmas season. And so she said, well, you know, we haven't watched many of our movies yet, so we've watched The Grinch. I love that movie. Because, you know, it's about a guy who's, you know, bah humbug about everything, and then he gets changed, right? He gets a heart, you know, like many men need a heart, you know, to understand it. To us, it's credit cards and more work. And she said, well, you know, we haven't watched White Christmas. We haven't watched White Christmas yet. I said, are you sure? And she said, yeah, we haven't watched it yet. And then we started looking at the movie and said, well, we haven't watched them all. I said, are you sure we haven't already watched that? She says, no, I'm certain we haven't. I got to thinking, I said, yeah, I'm not sure when we would have watched that movie. Because then, you know, okay, so tomorrow afternoon, or rather today, it's today, right? This afternoon, I'm going to watch White Christmas. After the football game, of course. Got to do that. And then tonight, when we get done with the service, we're going to come home and watch a movie called The Nativity. It makes me cry like a baby every time, but I love it. I love it. I love not being a man for 10 minutes. But I said, I think we've watched these already. I think we already did. And she says, no, we haven't watched them for a year. I got to thinking, well, you know, she's right. It's been a year. It's been a year already. It was a year ago this year, or, you know, this today, that we watched certain movies, that we did certain things. And all of a sudden, I lost track of the whole year. All of a sudden, here we are. We're here for this celebration, this Christmas thing, and it's like, man, I can't believe this all got by me. Has it got by you? Has it got by you? Does it seem like this year lasted forever? Or does it seem like this year just like, man, it just rocketed right by? You know, and already we're doing things that we did last year at this time. Or is it because sometimes we get into a rut? Is it because sometimes we don't remember the real meaning of this? And, you know, yet, you know, the reason for the season, right? You know, we go through all that. We turn that into a cliche, and then all of a sudden that got kind of old. You know, and so, but we go through all the things of our lives, and we start to not take stock. You know, we forget. We just get moving on and doing the things that we're supposed to do. And, you know, and certainly I think that, you know, I think we can all agree that through the year we deal with certain problems and certain things crop up in front of us. And as we deal with that, you know, we forget about what we're doing. We forget about where we're at. You know, we even forget what day it is. And all of a sudden Christmas is here again. You know, for me it's a busy time of year, so I really kind of enjoy it. You know, but... You know, I just wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't thinking about what was coming up and what was going to happen. You know, and then, of course, there was the couple of days we had 42 degrees and, you know, and there was no snow and all that jazz. You know, but the fact of the matter is that's not what we get far from. What we get far from is what it is we're celebrating, what it is that we're doing in this worship. We get far from that. We set it aside and we forget. And then the conflicts and the things come in our lives and all of a sudden and what happens to us is that we get caught unaware. We get caught unawares. And as we look at it, and as I looked at where I was, you know, and the moment that I was in, I realized that I got caught. I got caught not thinking about the important things of my life, the important things that Christ has placed in my world, the important things that I need to look at and I need to remember. Now, certainly it's not the presents, and certainly it's not even the black raspberry pie. Those are Benny's, of course. But it's the fact that Christ was born. Why wouldn't we ramp ourselves up to that? Why wouldn't we bring ourselves to look at that and say, oh man, it's coming. We're gonna remember. We're gonna celebrate again what it was that God did, how God changed lives, how God saved men's souls. And if that's not important enough, then what is? If that's not important in our lives, then what can be? And that's where my convictions came in. Because I realized that all of the things that weren't important were the things that were occupying my mind. Certainly they're important to us in the world. I'm not going to say they're unimportant. But I am going to say is that I spend so much time thinking about those things that I forget what God is doing. That I forget what God is helping me to remember even in the one day that we selected to celebrate Him and His birth. I think that's what we find in the story of Joseph. That as we see that this baby is born, do you get the irony in that? Do you get the irony in a baby being born? I mean, we have babies in our church, okay? We have babies that would be in this category. These babies are born, okay? But unlike the Messiah and the Savior, although He may have done this, but you know, but when we see children, we think of babies in our lives. We usually see a lot of spit or vomit coming out, you know, or there's the other end that's always active. You know, that seems to kind of spoil the whole moment. But that Jesus was this baby. He came into the world as a tiny, helpless human being, and He was this little baby. And He was born. And they're never going to tell everybody, this is the Messiah. This is the King of Kings. That He is the ruler and the creator of your life. I can imagine if we said that to them today. They say, you mean that baby? The baby. The baby. The one you're holding. Yes, the baby. The one that wears diapers. Yeah, that baby. The one you have to feed. The one that would die if you left him sitting out there. Yeah, that baby. Do we really bring ourselves to this understanding? Do we really believe what it is that God has done here? Do we understand that God made himself less than what he was so that he could be here in the world with you as a baby? You see, they were expecting a king. They were expecting this warrior to come in who had conquered nations. Either a white stallion that he would ride in on a white stallion, or that he would come in on a war chariot. But one way or the other, he would be this adult, that he would be this manly king. But no, what we got was we got this little kid. We got a baby. A helpless one at that. And I think there's a significance in this as we look at this story. There's a reason why Matthew wants us to think about this. There's a reason why Matthew wants us to give this some consideration in our lives. And especially when we come back to it as those who are in Christ. That we come back and we look at this, he wants us to think about this for a reason. He wants us to understand something here in these verses. Something that we all need. You see, we needed a Messiah. And he came. And we need something else here today. Will you come again and will you look at this and will you find that in there? Will you search for that in there to find out what it is that he has provided for you and your needs? You see, I think sometimes, that's all we can think about is our needs. We forget to look at the one who provides. And say, God, thank you for what you have given me today. But I think as we look at our scripture here, there's a pattern that flows from this. And what we're going to see is we're going to see a moment of conflict. We're going to see then this moment of conflict in the world that's going on in the world. And then we're going to see this confirmation, or rather this affirmation from God. He's going to give an affirmation and encouragement. He's going to help us to understand. He's going to help us to accept. And then we see then this confirmation. He's going to confirm for us that this is God at work. This is what God is doing in your life. And then after that, then we're going to see then from the world obedience. So we're going to have conflict, affirmation, confirmation, and then an obedience, a response, an obedience to what God has brought us in this moment, what he's brought us in these words of Matthew. So those are the things that we're going to look at. I'm hoping that I can help you to understand how these things apply in our lives. I'm hoping that you can understand and how you will take that and know that God is still with you, that God is walking with you, that he will help you to see these things in your life. So let's take a look at the first two verses there, 18 and 19. We see this conflict. Something has happened. Okay, so Joseph has this bride, this wife, that is turned up pregnant. And she has said to them, you know, that I am pregnant, but it's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me I was going to have this child and gave me this child. All right, so now they're all standing there looking at Mary and wondering, how can that be? How is that possible? So let's talk a little bit about what's going on here. Okay, so in their day, in their marriage, they were married that year before. It just wasn't consummated until he brought her then into his home. He received her from the Father, and then he took her, and then she became then his bride, that she would come and live with him then. But they, for all intents and purposes, were married already. They were already married. Okay, they were married for a year, you know, but Joseph was not allowed to have her in consummation of the relationship. He was not allowed to have her physically like that. And he wasn't even allowed to have her in his house. But rather, he was to, I guess, demonstrate through this time that he would be this husband that he said he would be. She was supposed to demonstrate that she would be this wife. So in other words, this whole year was a training period for the couple. And so as this couple goes through this training period, then at one point, then she comes to them and she says, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. And so we see this conflict then all of a sudden created. Because Joseph, obviously, he knows it wasn't him. It wasn't me. The question is, who was it? Who did this? How did this happen? Who did you let touch you? Imagine all the accusations that would have come out from that. Imagine all the accusations that we have given when we've had situations just like this. Imagine all of the things that Joseph was going through and the things that were going through his mind, his heart, all of the things that he was thinking when people were looking at him and thinking, oh, there's Joseph, look, his wife is pregnant. And he says it's not even him. And so as he is standing in this conflict then, it's kind of, he's trying to think in a godly way, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to handle this situation that I've been confronted with? And then there's Mary, she's saying it's the Holy Spirit. She's saying, God did that. And so as then he's confronted by this, we see him go through this thought process. He's got this divorce crisis thing that he's looking at. You know, the woman that he loves, the woman that he wants. But yet now she's standing there in contradiction to the law that they have. And so as he looks at her and as he looks to his God, he's faithful to the law, it tells us in 19, that Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. But get this, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. I'm faithful to the law. I will do what the law says, but I do not want to hurt her. I do not want to hurt her. I don't want to put her through this disgrace. What can I do? What can I do that would accomplish both of these things? And so this is what he comes up with. So he has it in his mind, to divorce her quietly. I'm just going to quietly settle this. I'm going to divorce her. It will be the end of it. She won't be disgraced. Because you see, here's the thing. If he would have publicly divorced her and disgraced her, they would have stoned her to death. It would have been it. He did not want her to suffer that. And so he gives himself to the best that he can in this situation. So he has it in his mind that this is what he's going to do. But then God comes to the conflict with affirmation. God comes into this problem with the affirmation that God always brings when we turn to him. And so if we look at verse 20, he says, "But after he considered this, after he thought about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David.'" Now let's stop there for a second, because these are some very powerful words. Joseph, son of David. Okay, if you would just look in your Matthew chapter, if you're with me there, and you would look over into chapter 1, you'll see there's a long list of names and family connections and ties and all that in there, and it almost seems like it goes on forever. And in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay, so now back into our verses. So he says to Joseph, son of David, what he is acknowledging, this angel of the Lord, is that this guy, this man who is going through this problem, is the son of King David. Now there's a couple of hundred years between them. So what he's indicating in this is that this man is a descendant of David. That this man came from the family, from the line, from David himself. That as he has come through, that this is what the prophecy said would happen. That the son who was born to the man, that this son would be out of the line of David. He would be the son of David. He would be in the king in the fashion of David, but he would rule forever. Okay, so as he brings this to him, right away, the angel of the Lord himself, he recognizes in this affirmation, or rather, he recognizes for us, he acknowledges for us in this affirmation, that you, Joseph, the son of David, are part of God's plan. You are part of this prophecy. You are part of what's taking place here. God has made you a part of this. And so as you look at yourself, Joseph, you are an important factor in this, that you are significant in this. Because here is the thing. This is what they're asking him to do. They're asking him, Joseph, the carpenter in town, the man who is married to Mary, to raise someone else's child. That's what they're asking him to do. How dare they? What's in Joseph that he would give up the law to do what God said? What's in Joseph that he would understand the love and the compassion that goes in that you condemn somebody to death? What's in Joseph that he would understand that this angel from the Lord who comes to him in a dream is an angel from the Lord? It has to be his faith. It has to be what he has demonstrated already in his life. It has to be what the Holy Spirit does in all of us, that he helps us to come to an understanding of that this is God, and this is God at work. And so he gives him this affirmation, Joseph, don't give up, Joseph. This is your hope. This is your hope, son of David. So let's move a little bit further in that then. Okay, so Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Okay, Joseph, do this. I know it seems all bad for you, but go ahead and do this. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. There is the affirmation, is that this is from God. What Mary told you is true, Joseph. Be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Do this, Joseph. Go forward, because look at the life that Joseph was signing on to. He was signing on to be and stay married to a woman who's having a child that's not his. He's looking to be a public disgrace in their community. He's looking to be all of these things as exposed by man and man's law. And that as he's exposed to these things, the angel of the Lord is saying, don't stop, Joseph. Don't give up. It's okay. It's from God. It's okay that you're going through this, because it is from God. In verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, the Greek, for the Hebrew word Joshua, the Lord saves. The Lord saves. This will be his name. His name will be the Lord saves. So you're going to give him this name, Joseph, the Lord saves. Now imagine then that in the encouragement that the angel is bringing him and this affirmation that he's getting, that it's like, this is what's going on here, Joseph. Your son, that kid, the one that you're going to raise outside of this biological thing that you have in the world, he's the Messiah. He's coming here for your salvation. And not only yours, but the whole world. Now, could you be encouraged by that? Could you be emboldened by that? To understand that, yeah, this is going to stink, the kind of life that Mary and I are going to have as we go through and live out our lives here as man and wife with this child that belongs to mom but not dad. That we're going to go through all of this, but who would encourage him more than the Lord himself? The Lord would say, yes, Joseph, you can and you will. And Joseph stands up and he becomes what God asks him to be. But you see, in Isaiah 53, in 10 to 12, God is dealing with his people. He's making them this promise. He's saying there's going to be this Messiah that comes to you, and this Messiah, he will save you. And in Isaiah 53, 10 to 12 says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. This baby we're talking about. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, this baby we're talking about, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. This baby we're talking about. And after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. By his death, we will be justified into life. By his death, we will be justified in the ransom that we already held in our sins. He will pay the price. We will be redeemed. The Lord saves this baby we're talking about. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressors. This baby was born for our sins. This baby, this little kid, this child that fits in a manger, this baby that we praise and that we worship on this day, was born to die for you. He was born to die so that you could live free from your sins. And not only is he here, but God made a promise long before then, hundreds of years before then, that he would come. And they have been waiting. Joseph knows. Joseph has been waiting. He's faithful to the law. In other words, he understands the law. And he's been waiting and waiting and waiting for this Messiah. When, Lord, will you send our salvation? This baby we're talking about. This baby that is born in Bethlehem to Joseph and Mary. This baby that would bear all of our sins. Makes you wonder, in God's plan, has he ever really considered how unworthy we are to receive this precious, special gift? But you see, I think he has. He doesn't deem us worthy. He makes us worthy. He gives this baby, this child, the one that he promised. God himself said, I will come into the world. I will make myself less than I am. and I will walk among you. And you, for a little while, are going to take care of me. You're going to serve me. You're going to feed me. You're going to change those dirty diaper thingies. Yeah, dirty. You know, you're going to do all of these things because I'm going to die for you. How about that for a challenge? How about that? What would you do for one who would die for you? That would save you like that. So we have this affirmation, and now we have this confirmation in verse 23. That we get God's confirmation in what's happening here. In verse 22, we're told, so this is all to take place. This is Matthew's commentary on this. This is take place to fulfill the what the Lord had said through the prophet. And in 23, here it is. He says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the confirmation that God gives. He gave it in His Word. He gave it in His Scripture. He said, this is how it will be. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, King Ahaz has been called upon to look to the Lord and to ask the Lord to show him a sign that God was working with him. And Ahaz, I got nothing to do with that. Hey, and he tried to kind of turn it around. He says, hey, look, you know, I don't test God. You want to test God, you go test God. But this is Isaiah who's asking him, and Isaiah is talking to him. And so in the verse before that, Isaiah says, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? How much patience does God have with us? We hope it's everlasting, right? We hope that He never stops being patient with us. But He says, so why would you test the patience of God? Why would you question what God does? Why would you question God's plan? And in verse 14 then, He says, therefore then, because of what you question, He says, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will call him God with us. The angel comes to Joseph and says, remind them, or remember to name him Jesus. The Lord saves. The Lord saves. The God is with us. The Lord saves. God is with us. He saves us. He's with us even now as we speak, as we talk, as we do all the things of our lives, as we get ready to open up presents tomorrow. God is standing right there with you. That as we get ready to go through all of the things of our lives, God has confirmed that He gives His Word, that He keeps His Word. He will never back down from that. God's plan continues whether we think it does or not. God's truth exists whether we call it a lie or not. God speaks truth. God's plan continues. God's promise is always kept. And so as we understand these words that come out, He gives this confirmation in prophecies. It was fulfilled so that we would know. Remember the one thing that Jesus told us that came true even in His time there. He said that I'm going to be killed by you and then I'm going to be raised. I must be lifted up so that you can be saved. And it happened. And it happened. God says, I'm going to give you a child, and that child is going to be your Messiah. We said, well, we'd rather have a king. We'd rather have somebody that we can move right onto the throne and he can take over. And God says, no. No. Because of what you believe is not what I believe. That I will give you a child. I will give you this baby. And there will be conflict because this baby is born. We said, well, that's not how we're supposed to live in a king. Aren't we supposed to live with all the provision of God in a king? Aren't our lives supposed to be happy? Aren't we supposed to be, you know, problem-free? But God comes to us and shows us Himself through conflict, through problems, through pain. And then He gives us a baby who can't protect ourselves, and now we have to protect someone else. And for some of us, He's given us, like, you know, a lot more babies. And now you have a whole family that you're taking care of. And then He adds in on top of that, He adds in friends. Oh my gosh, if you just didn't have any friends, you know how much life, easier life would be? Trust me, I know. I have a friend. And he's hard not to take care of. But let me tell you that when God gives us these things, He's bringing us through these things so that we can understand, so that we can receive His affirmation, so that we can receive His confirmation of the promises that He has made for us. You see, this same baby who would grow into a man and who would minister to a whole world, that as He did that and His words would last forever, we killed Him. And He said, okay, you killed me, but now the price has been paid. And He came back to life. He said He would. And then when He was with us, He said, I'm coming back. In the final days, I will be back and I will bring judgment into the world. I am going to bring a sword into the world. And so through this baby, then, we understand that when God makes a promise, He keeps it. That we understand that when God says, I will show you a sign, I will let you know that it is me. He does. You see what He's telling Joseph? It's okay, Joseph, it's me. It's me, I'm God, I came here. I'm here. And He's looking at this little baby, he's thinking about this baby in the womb, you know, and He says, well, how can that be? And God says, you let me take care of the hard stuff. You worry, Joseph, about this one thing, that I give you my word and I've confirmed my word with you. You worry about this one thing. And we find this in verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He did it. He did it. This is the command that he received. And he did it. He was obedient to God. Yeah, I know, I got it. He probably couldn't explain most of it. But this is what the angel of the Lord was telling him. God had affirmed it in him. He had encouraged him to accept His word, to accept His truth. But then He confirmed it for him, said, this is what I told you would happen, and it's happening. And you're a part of it, Joseph. And then there's a pause. There's a pause. And then Joseph says, or Joseph does, in 24, he wakes up and he does what the Lord's angel commanded. He does it. He ends the pause with obedience. And in 25, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. In other words, there was no sexual relationship with him until after Jesus was born. And he gave him the name, the Lord Saves. He gave him this name because that's what his son would be. His son would be the Savior of the world. This is why Joseph obeyed. Because his God, his Father, brought him this son that would save Joseph. That would save the world that Joseph loved. And Joseph said, this is worth it. This is worth all of the pain and all of the suffering. This is worth it. That I would have to go through the attacks of the people that loved me one day, but now no longer love me. It was worth it that I would go through this so that all of mankind, that they would follow my baby, that we hold this day, that he would follow. If man would follow this baby, he would have new life. He would have a promise from God. This child that is born is new life into us. That's why we should celebrate all of our children. They are new life. They remind us of the one who gives life. They remind us that this miracle that God works, He continues to remind us of at every birth. That God said, I have given you a promise and I have kept it. Recognize, loved ones, recognize this season that this is what God has done. That He has worked all of this so that we could be saved. We talk of Jesus' birth in the past tense. And there's a reason for that. Because we're on our way somewhere. We're on a journey. We're traveling through these times. And that God is with us. We want Him with us to protect us while we walk through this darkness. And He reminds us along the way through our affirmation that He saved us. That He's come to us. That we've given ourselves to Him. You know, said, Lord, I have all of these problems. I have all of these things in my life. It's just tearing me down, God. I don't want to sin, but I sin. What's going on here? You know, how can I do this? And God says, I am with you. I am with you. If you would just take my encouragement, I would help you stand back up. Because let me confirm to you this promise that I've made to you. And then He brings another believer alongside of you. And you say, well, what's so good about your life? I said, you know, I suffer too. Man, I can't keep my movies straight. I might lose my black raspberry pie. But I know this one thing, that God will be with me through it all. I know that no matter what happens in my life, that God will be with me. This is the hope that He has given us in this child. We are at peace with our God when we were at war. And you say, well, how can that help me? Be at peace with God. Don't war against Him anymore. Let Him work His salvation in you. And all of these problems and things you're going to still have. You're just going to understand now that you're not alone going through them ever. And that there'll be a time that you're called to Him and you will never suffer anymore. That when you're at peace with the Lord, that when God is with us, that there is nothing that He can't overcome. And that when God is with us, then we feel, we understand, we know that this baby that was sacrificed for us is the new life. For God is with us. Who can be against us? Not even your own life. Father, we just thank You so much for this time. I thank You, Father, that You bring us to this truth. I thank You, Lord, that You continue to remind us, not only on this special day, but I thank You, Lord, that You remind us every day. That You remind us in the circumstances of life and death. That there is life with You. I thank You, Father, that You continue to bless us as a church family. And I know, Lord, that we're calling to You and asking You to strengthen us and affirm us and confirm us in that we could reach others who don't know You as well. That we know, Lord, that we are not the answer, that You are. That You're the one who brings us through these times. Especially in a place where the world, well, they would have us avoid it, to go around it, ignore it. Just as they would have us ignore that You came in the form of a baby. But Lord, we know You're with us. We know that You're right there. That all we need to do is call out to You in the name of Jesus Christ, and we would be saved. And so we give You thanks and praise for the reminder of Your salvation on this day, and for all those to come. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.